double suicide out of love and a sense of duty. The following story appeared in a June 13, 1862 newspaper. A young woman and dressmaker named Palmyra, who lived with her parents, was endowed with an enchanting appearance and most affable character, which made her the object of many suitors. Of all them, she preferred Mr. B, who felt a vivid passion for her. Despite her love for him, she nevertheless thought it her duty, out of deference to her parents, to yield to their wishes by marrying Mr. D, whose social standing was regarded by them as more advantageous than that of his rival. Mr. B and Mr. D were close friends, and although there were no bonds of mutual interest between them, they were always together. The love between Mr. B and Palmyra, who had become Mrs. D, did not diminish in the least, and because they made great efforts to contain it, it grew even more intense. In seeking to extinguish it, Mr. B decided to marry a young woman who possessed outstanding attributes, and he did his utmost to love her. He soon realized, however, that such heroic means were powerless to heal him. Nevertheless, for 4 years, neither he nor Mrs. D broke their vows. What they had to suffer is impossible to express, because Mr. D, who truly loved his friend, was always inviting him over and insisting that he stay whenever he tried to leave. One day, the two lovers were brought together by an unsought, fortuitous circumstance, and they shared the state of their souls. They led themselves to believe that death was the only remedy for the agony they were going through. They decided to die together and to put their plan into action the next day, when Mr. D would be absent from home for a long time. After having made their final preparations, they wrote a long and touching letter explaining that the death they inflicted upon themselves was the only way they could remain faithful to their obligations. They ended the letter asking for forgiveness and to be buried in the same grave. When Mr. D returned home, he found them asphyxiated. He respected their last wishes and consented to their bodies not being separated at the cemetery. When this incident was submitted to the Parisian society as a topic for study, a spirit responded.
These two suicide lovers cannot yet respond to you. I see them. They are immersed in confusion and terrified at the perspective of eternity. The moral consequences for the wrong they committed will weigh heavily on them through successive migrations, during which their separated souls will search for each other constantly, subject to the double torture of having an intuition of and a desire for each other. Once expiation is finally complete, they will be reunited forever in the bosom of eternal love. Within 8 days, at your next meeting, you can evoke them. They will come, but will not be able to see each other. Profound darkness will separate them for a long time to come.
Evocation of the female suicide. Can you see your lover with whom you committed suicide?
I can't see anything, not even the spirits who roam around in this place where I am. Such night, such darkness. What a thick veil there is before my eyes.
What sensation did you experience upon awakening after your death?
Odd. I felt both cold and burning. I had ice in my veins and fire on my brow. A strange thing, an unheard of mixture. Fire and ice seemed to consume me. I thought I would die a second time.
Are you experiencing any physical pain?
All my suffering is here and here.
What do you mean by here and here?
Here in my head and here in my heart.
If one could have seen this spirit, it would have been possible to see her put her hand on her forehead and heart. Do you believe this situation will last forever?
Oh, forever, forever. I sometimes hear infernal howling, horrific voices crying out. It will be like this forever.
Well, we can tell you with all certainty that it will not be like this forever. Through repentance, you can obtain forgiveness.
What did you say? I couldn't hear you.
I will repeat that you can shorten the duration of your suffering by repenting, and we will help you do so through prayer.
I could hear only one word and some vague sound. That word was grace. Is it grace that you wanted to say? You no doubt spoke of grace to the soul who is passing by me, a poor child who is crying and hoping.
A woman who was present at the meeting and undoubtedly moved stated that she had said a prayer for this unhappy being, and that she had, in fact, mentally asked God's grace for her. You say you are in darkness. Can't you see us?
I am being allowed to hear a few of your words, but I can only see a black crape upon which a weeping face looms from time to time.
Even if you cannot see your lover, can't you nevertheless sense his presence next to you? He is here, after all.
Ah, don't speak to me about him. I must forget about him for the moment, so that the image on the crape will blot it out.
What image is it?
That of a man that is suffering, and whose mental existence on earth I have destroyed for a long time to come.
In reading this account, one might first be disposed to find attenuating circumstances in the suicide. Even viewing it was a heroic act, brought about by a sentiment of duty. One must realize, however, that it was judged differently, and that the punishment of these guilty souls will be long and dreadful for having intentionally taken refuge in death in order to flee their trial. Their intent not to break their marriage vows was honorable, and will be taken into account later on. True merit, however, would have consisted in resisting temptation, whereas they acted like the deserter who dodges his duty in the moment of danger. As one can see, their punishment will consist in their searching for each other for a long time without reuniting, whether in the spirit world or during other earthly incarnations. Additionally, their punishment is temporarily aggravated by the idea that their present state will last forever. This perspective is part of their punishment, and thus they were not even allowed to hear the words of hope that were being addressed to them. To those who find such a punishment too long and terrible, especially since it was only end after several incarnations, we will say that its duration is not irrevocably set. It will depend on the way in which they bear their future trials, for which prayer can be greatly help them. They will be like all other guilty spirits, the arbiters of their own destiny. Even so, isn't such a fate still preferable to the eternal, hopeless damnation to which they could be irreversibly condemned, according to the doctrine of the Church, which regards them as having been handed over to hell forever, and which refuse them the last rites as obviously useless?